This podcast is presented to you by Passion Church and their campus in Alexander City, Alabama. For more information, visit www.mypassion.church.
Praise the Lord. This is the day the Lord made. He said, I want you to frown and be sad. No. He said, this is the day the Lord hath made. Rejoice. Be glad in it. Have you ever noticed when you get up to go to work in the morning, have you ever seen some people's facial feature expressions and features in their vehicle when they're on the way to work? They have forgotten that God made this day for them. And they forgot they're supposed to rejoice and be glad. And you can tell who started their day off with him and those who decided to leave him in bed when they got up. Because they got the frown syndrome. They got the unhappy syndrome. And I'm always amazed. I watch people. I like to see expressions on their face. I like to go into a building, into an office sometimes when in my type of work, I'm in different buildings and we're enhancing the building, making the building look nice. And a lot of times when I go in, there's a cloud over everybody. You go in and it's like, and you know, and I'll say, good morning. And they'll say, well, what's good about it? You know, you've heard these expressions. Or you go in and they'll say, oh, it's Monday. I'm thinking, what is different between Monday and Tuesday other than a day? I don't know. Is there a difference? It's just another day to be about our Father's business. But it's another day. It's a day to rejoice and be glad in it. Now, the world looks at Sunday as a day of lay in, catch up on my sleep from my big hangover or my big party last night. You say, what's that got to do with your sermon? Absolutely nothing. This is free. But this is what the Lord laid on my heart a while ago when Kelly was sharing about the tithes and offerings, and she said, you know, this may be kind of tough. I thought, well, I'm going to come in and see if I can't put a Band-Aid on and put a smile back on her face. But let's rejoice, and let's be glad in it. Tyler, my message today is, who's your daddy? Look at your neighbor, look at the one sitting in front of you or beside you, and look at him and say, who's your daddy? You know, we live in a society today that, you know, there's not a lot of fathers in the home place anymore. And on top of that, there's also a lot of children today that really don't know who their real dad is. And that's a sad scenario here in the United States. And it's causing the home, the home life, it's causing the people in general to literally fall apart, because there needs to be a mother and a father in a home to create a balance. That's the design that God created. And God wants and loves a family. Now, in order that we might fulfill God's purpose and God's plan, we've got to learn how to not only know His plan, as Kelly said a while ago. We got to not only know the Word, but she said, I thought she was going to preach her message, but she said, we've got to obey the Word. So the title of the message being, who's your daddy? You have an opportunity, even though you may not know who your earthly father is, you have an opportunity to serve two different fathers. You can serve the father of this world, the enemy, or you can serve the Father God. And I can't make that choice for you. You can't make that choice for me. You have to make that choice. That's a choice that will not only affect you, but it's going to affect your family, your friends, your co-workers. And whether we know it or not, that choice not only affects them, but it causes those that we are have a sphere of influence, it causes their life to go in a direction, either positive or negative, that's going to affect the next generation. Now, Kelly started off this morning in sharing from her heart that she said, this may be a little tough. This may sound like it's kind of hard, a pill to swallow. It's a hard pill to swallow. But I want you to bear with me this morning, because the job of a pastor is to feed the sheep. To take them to green pastures. To lead them beside the still waters. To bring them into a relationship that they don't have one day up and the next day down. Jesus said, I come to make the high places low and the low places high. That's a plane, ladies and gentlemen. That's a plane where we don't have ups and downs. Ups and downs. On Sunday, when you've had an opportunity to listen to a good anointed message, and a pastor should spend time with God in His Word and through meditation and prayer in order to feed that particular group of people that God has brought to that particular body called the church. He's to feed them with fresh manna. Look at your neighbor and say, fresh manna. Not some stale food. Listen, God holds pastors accountable. And as Kelly said, well, I thought she was going to preach my message. She said, I've got to share it, because if I don't, God holds me accountable, not you. But we, as a group of people called Christians, have allowed. Now you're going to have to pull up your big pants. And you're going to have tough skin. But we, as Christians, have allowed the world to go to hell in a hat basket. Because we have not stood on the promises of God. We've tried to vote people in that would make life good for us. And we've depended on people to make right what God has given you and I the authority to make right ourselves. I'm pulling these pants up. It's getting deep in here. Sure is quiet. But you see, we've been asleep too long. And it's time that we not just know about this God, but that we have a relationship with Him that brings us into a place where we actually feel bad when we don't walk in obedience. That we're not just, well, you know, God understands. He's very loving. He'll forgive me. You know, that's His motto. But we have used that and twisted it to bring corruption to this nation called the United States of America. And we want to blame the politicians. Turn your Bibles to Genesis. Chapter 2, I believe it is. No, it's chapter 1. Right in the very beginning, God give us a standard. God put into place, in the very beginning, He not only created this world that we live in, but He created something to put in it to take care of it. Now, as we study the book of Genesis, in the beginning, God created the whole world. He created the universe. And in doing so, we find that He said, and He said. He spoke it into existence. Now, I'm going somewhere with this morning, so I really want you to do your best to follow with me. Put a little salve on the wound. Or you can believe that God can heal you while I'm preaching. That's your choice. See, the Word wants to give you a little salve. God wants you to take your faith and heal up. But listen to what He says here in verse number 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion. Now let's just stop right there for just a moment. You see, when the greatest revelation that I ever got during my relationship with Jesus Christ, and I'm not perfect, and I've made a lot of mistakes. And I used to say, and I'll make more. I found out I was just calling that into existence. So I don't say that anymore, but I have made a lot of mistakes. But I'm finding that God doesn't want me to continue those same mistakes. And is requiring of me as a pastor and as a son of God, so it doesn't leave anybody out. There's neither male nor female. We're just referring to who God created. But when God created me and He created you, He made us very special. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm special. It wouldn't hurt to do that again. You're special. Because you think about it. God did not create anything else other than you in His image. And His likeness. The greatest revelation I got was that God told me when I read that, and I had read it many times, He said, Ron, I made you like me. And there's a scripture that I came across in the Bible. Now, I know this is going to, it's a good thing that we're not online today. I'd probably get some hate mail. But there's a scripture in the Bible that says that we are gods. Little g. little g. Now, when I got the revelation that God made me to be like Him, to function like Him, well, how does He function? Well, He just speaks. And there it is. You say, well, I'm just an old human. You were created by a spirit. God is a spirit. You were created by a spirit to be spirit. And as long as we continue to live life day in, get up, go to work, and go back home and go to sleep with the mentality that I'm just human, you will never reach your destiny that God purposed when He formed you in your mother's womb. He said, I have a purpose for you, a destination for you. I have plans for you, and they are plans to do you good, prosper you, and do nothing but good. Amen. And if you're not doing those things that's producing prosperity and good, you need to examine your relationship. Am I accepting the fact that I am to be like God? Now, some of you are probably looking at me like a deer in headlights. What is he saying? I'm preaching the gospel. Listen, it's time that we stood in the pulpit and tell people who they are in God. Yes, it's a wonderful thing to get people saved so that they can go to heaven. But if all you're getting is that you must be born again, you're missing the boat. He wants you to be born again because once you're born again, you take on the spirit and the nature of who God is. He now lives in you. Woo, getting happy. I live and I move in Him. Jesus said, I'm in you. You are in me. And Jesus said, and I'm in the Father. And so many people are looking to see Jesus one day when they die. And He's right smack dab. If they received Him, smack dab in the very center of their being. And they run around looking for Him. Oh, when I see Jesus, everything's going to be just fine. He birthed you with His image so that everything can be fine. If you speak to the mountain and quit trying to climb it and just dissolve it, call those things that are not as though they were. Woo! Mama Betty, I tell you what's the truth. When this thing gets inside of you, it will literally change the way you talk. It will change the way you live. It will change the way you see people and see things. They're not, listen, when this revelation gets in you, you quit seeing trouble, you see opportunity. For you, not God, for you to change. Because God gave you that ability to change your circumstances. You don't like what you're doing. You don't like life like it is. You can change it. The words of your mouth. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O God. By your words. Listen, this is scripture. By your words are you justified. By your words, are you condemned? You either speak life, change to your mess, or wallow in it. Or you can speak death and really wallow in it. And die in it. I'm teaching you this morning, ladies and gentlemen. You have the power. He said, and have dominion. Have dominion. And the scripture says, he said, it goes on to say, he said, I want you to reproduce. and replenish. Oh, we got good at that. We like that part. But are we reproducing after our kind in the Spirit? That's the real reason that He made you. Yes, He wants us to produce so that He can have a big family. But He wants to see His kids grow up. He doesn't want to see His 25, 35, 45, 65, 95-year-old kids sucking on a bottle. Now, wouldn't that just look ridiculous if somebody walked in here at 85 years old and had a baby bottle and they sucking on it and then they go sit down? The next thing you're going to say, well, I wonder who changes their diaper. I bet they don't do it. And yet we'll laugh about that. But we'll run around as Christians and still suck the bottle because we refuse to eat the meat of the Word and obey the Word of the Word, the Word of the Lord. Now, I didn't want to preach this message. I fought it tooth and toe. And I said, Lord, I'm not gaining any friends. Listen, He said, when they all leave, I'll stick closer than a brother. Amen. And I will never leave you nor forsake you for as long as you live. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. The job of a shepherd is not always good. It's not fun. But I will tell you this. You got a choice. You can go to a church where they're just going to waller-moller and just love in covey-dovey and you love on you and kiss you. But you'll go to hell in the handbasket with the rest of the world. And here at Passion Church, you're going to hear this. God not only loves you, but He's requiring of you to act like He acts. Sister Teresa prayed in her prayer this morning in our prayer time in the back. She says, we are His hands. We are His feet. We are His mouthpiece. So being created in the image of God means this. I don't see circumstances as a pitfall. I don't know. I used to try to shun those things. I found out I got the authority. Oh, listen. You have the authority. I got to let that just sink in. Selah. Pause and think. You have the authority to change your circumstance. With the words you speak, number one, you must call that what you want it to be as though it were. You speak this into existence. It says over, I think it's Ephesians. If you'll go there with me. I believe it's, chapter 5 of Ephesians. Chapter 5 of Ephesians. Look with me in verse 1. Therefore. What's that therefore? If it's therefore, you need to find out what it's there for. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. Imitators. When you say, now, you see, the world, because we don't have many fathers, the Bible even says you have many fathers, but you don't have many teachers. He's referring to, we've always got somebody trying to tell you how to do it and where to go and how to get there. And the world's going to tell you their way of how to go about life. And if you look around to those that are being controlled by the world, their life is in shambles. Therefore, Jesus today... Well, I'm for him, but I mean, I ain't got time to get in the Word and really know Him, but I'm saved. So I'm with Him. But when the rubber meets the road and all hell breaks loose, they go running to somebody else that they think is spiritual. Pray for me. Can you help me in this situation? Don't know what to do. And if they'd taken the time to know what this word of the Father says, they could imitate Him. They could imitate Him. And they wouldn't have any problem doing it because they have the very image and likeness of God. I'm going to wrap it up with this. As I said a while ago, the greatest revelation that I got, and it hadn't been too long ago, maybe within a year, when it sunk into my spirit, Mama Betty, when it really got in me, when God opened my eyes and my understanding and said, "This is what I'm saying to you, that I made you, Ron, just like me. Just like me. I didn't cut no corners. I didn't spare anything. In fact, when you was in your mother's womb, I started crafting and creating and molding you and putting something inside of you that the world could not touch if you would allow that's me to come forth in you." Ladies and gentlemen, it's got to be you that does the birthing. That baby don't come out unless you go through some pain. You say, "Well, I don't want to have to go through all of that." Let me ask you a question. Would you rather go through some birthing pains, some stretch marks? Hello, talking to you women folk. Would you rather go through that for a short period of time and then enjoy the rewards of what life has to offer through those birthing pains? We're talking about bringing forth this God nature within us to be able to walk in dominion, to create a world that we want to live in. That's a life like God likes. That actually fulfills our purpose. You know, you can ask people a lot of times, say, "Well, what's your purpose in life?" "My what? My purpose? Well, my purpose is to have a bunch of youngins if we can, and if I can support them, I'll go back and forth to work, and I'll buy the house that the money that I can make allows me to live in, and I'll drive a car that my job allows me to be able to make payments on. That's my purpose." That could be so far from the truth. You were created to have a life of enjoyment, peace, happiness. Listen, I'm not making this up. He said, "In me, you have peace." So you have the choice to either live in peace or you can just live in hell. And I like what Brother Jesse DePlanter said one time. He said, "What in hell do you want?" Phil, I lived in that mess long enough. I never found nothing in hell I like. Yeah, I lived in hell on earth. Misery, pain, frustration, broke, disgusted, busted. I've lived there. But I made a choice. If I have this in me, that God has given me, put inside of me, made me to be like Him, then I'm going to throw out this question. Then what in the hell am I living like I'm living for?
That's right.
Why would I want to live like the hellish life? when I've been given the authority and the power to live life to its fullness. To have life abundantly. Well, but Brother Ron, you don't know where I come from. You just don't know my family situation. That's what I think of that. That's ignorance speaking. That's ignorance talking. And that's ignorance that has turned a seed. And it's growing in you like a weed. And you're constantly having to go through life with your spiritual lawnmower, so to speak, or your carnal lawnmower, and mowing your grass when God never intended you to have grass growing in your garden. He wants you to live in the Garden of Eden, and there wasn't never no weeds in the Garden of Eden. There was fruit trees. There was food and everything that Adam and Eve needed. It was there. He said all he told them was, you just tend it. Take care of it. And yet we get up every morning and we toil. All day, all week, trying to make ends meet. When the Word of God has been taught us that we've been created in the image and likeness of God. I hope you've been taught it. And we're putting it on the shelf saying, I can do it. We're acting like Barney Fife. With that little pistol. Well, I'll just shoot down all the mess that comes my way. How's that working out? Have you found out your gun ain't got no bullets? Because the devil ain't going to give you none. It's only he'll give them to you when he can find that he can use you to destroy anything that lines up with godliness. You say, Pastor Ron, that's kind of hard. Ladies and gentlemen, we have got to accept our responsibility. I don't even turn the news on anymore. I don't watch that mess. And I'm going to say it again. The world is just going chaos. Stuff's happening here in the United States of America that we never dreamed it would happen. We'd hear about it in other countries, and now it's here. And we're letting things take place that is creating a world for our children and our children's children to have to live in a mess that we allowed to happen. You say, well, you ain't preaching to me. I didn't let it happen. What are you doing to uphold the standard of God just in your family? Are you calling those things? Well, my family situation is just a mess. Do something about it. Go to God. Father God, listen, this is what your word says. My family is blessed. They're born again. Walking in the light as you are the light. I call those things. I speak that. I speak to God. I said, listen, I'm going to tell you something, God. I'm going to speak your word. He says, well, yeah, come on. Remind me of what I said. Because I'll tell you, when you say it, you have just spoken my words out of somebody I give the authority to speak it with. You're my ambassador. You can speak it, and I'll back it up because I said no word that I have said would ever return void. It will accomplish that which it was set forth to do. It's you that sets those words forth. We're praying, oh God, change things. Change things. Save my children. Save my home. Save my life. Save my marriage. Save my job. When you have the power and the dominion to do it exactly like God did it, that power lies within you. If I don't like something, I just start quoting the Word of God over it. And I remind him, you return void, and I'm holding you accountable to it.
I tell stuff,
this is what God says. This is what my father said. I don't know who's your daddy, but my daddy's God. And I'm going to tell you something. When my mess starts to raise its head, you know what I do? I tell him what my daddy said. And a lot of people are telling their mess what the world daddy says. I tell them what my daddy. And the world backs up. Because there's power and authority in my tongue. When I confess that word, it has to line up. Because I speak it by faith. Well, I don't know if I got as much faith as you got. Listen, the Bible says that he's given every man the measure of faith. It don't take a lot of faith to ask Jesus into your heart. The very same faith that you used when you said, Jesus, I ask you to come to my heart, forgive me my sins, I receive you as my Lord. When you said that, and you said it with faith, you believed, did you see Jesus? No. But you believed by faith. I don't see you, Jesus, but I know. I believe. I'm convinced. I'm persuaded that you heard me. And you answered. You forgave me. You now live in my heart. That's the kind of faith that turns right around and says to your mess, oh, ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. What did God tell Ezekiel to say? First he asked Ezekiel, what do you think about them dry bones? Do you think they can live? Well, Ezekiel said, well, God, only you know. But then God told him, he says, well, now, Ezekiel, you tell them what I said. Don't just speak to them. He said, wait. You tell them what I said. You see, what was happening, Ezekiel spoke like God because he was speaking God's word. I hope you caught that. Well, I'm not God. No. You're not God the Father. But you're one of his kids.
Amen.
And when one of his kids talk, you better listen. Because Jesus was one of his kids. And Jesus said, I said what my daddy said. And everything that Jesus said that his daddy said happened. Well, but that don't apply to me. Hogwash. You were created in the image and likeness of God. You were created in the image. He said, let us make you. Who is he talking about? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Well, I can't be like Jesus. You have just said the word don't apply to you. But the word does apply to you if you'll take his word at heart. I got this little book at home. I'm closing. I'm trying to close. My goodness sakes alive. It's 11:30. God forbid we don't get to the buffet line early. What was that?
She said, we're at the buffet.
Yes, you are.
Yes.
You know what's sad about that? A lot of people come to a buffet and they don't mind dropping $15, $12, $12.95, $13, $14, $15, $16 for a big buffet so they can just sit there and eat and get and eat and eat and eat and eat and go home miserable and going, my God, I'm so full. Let's just go home and sleep. But they'll come to a church like this and get a spiritual buffet and drop a dollar in the plate. Forget the tip. The server don't get no tip in the church. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you something today. We have lived too long beneath our privileges. The purpose of your life was to be intimate with God. To be intimate. He knew that if you could get to know Him and love on Him like He loves you, or even just close to the way He loves you, you would have life. I'm talking about real life. The kind of life that you don't wake up in the morning saying, "Oh God, it's Monday. Oh God, I got to get them kids to school. God, them kids are growing so fast. I can't even keep tennis shoes on that one." You shouldn't be living that way. I said you shouldn't be living that way.
Amen.
I'm going to say it again. You should not be living that way. You're in the image and likeness of God. You should not be living that way. We have been taught to accept life as it is, instead of creating life the way God intended for us to live. I made a decision here a while back, Sister Donnie, that if I don't like life the way it is, I'm going to change it. I'm going to, listen, this is not being haughty. I'm following the example of my Father. Be ye followers as dear children of the Father. I'd made a decision. I know this is going to... Oh, some of you are just going to say, "Oh." I decided if I don't like my world, I'm going to create the world I want, and I'm walking in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Phil, if I don't like it, I have the power to create the world I want.
Yeah.
Through the spoken word.
We
don't go around and saying, "Oh, God, my feet are killing me." You're on your way to an early grave. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What are you saying? What are you speaking? And are you believing that you have the authority to change? And to change things? I decree that every one of my children and grandchildren are going to be born again, saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. They are going to be ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ some way, somewhere, somehow. It doesn't matter. I have done and said and read to God that my children, and my grandchildren, and my children's children's children are going to be followers of God. I've decreed it. And I said like Pharaoh, "So shall it be written, so shall it be said, so shall it be done." And I'll tell you something else. It's going to happen in my lifetime with my all of my children and grandchildren. And I got a lot of children and young and grandchildren. And I assure you, because I told God, I reminded Him of His word. I said, "God, I believe it." And God said, "Now just watch me fulfill it. Watch me fulfill it."
Amen.
Can I? I'm trying to want to close with this. Are you giving God anything to do? Oh, I gave Him a list. I speak His words every day to Him about what needs to be changed. I know when we first came here as pastors, I said, "God, the only way that I want to come in and pastor, I don't even want to pastor. I did not want a pastor. Phil, that's not ugly. I just didn't want the responsibility. I had enough on my plate trying to be a minister of music, learning all these new songs, and also trying to work full time. And be a dad and a granddad. And a husband." Whoo, man, my plate was full. So I went to God and I said, "Well, I'm going to tell you this. He said, listen, what does God's word say? Come, he said. This is what God said. Ron, come. Let us reason together. Well, how do I do that? Sheepishly sliding under his door? No, he said, come boldly to the throne of grace. I squared back my shoulders and I said, now listen here, Daddy. I ain't got an attitude, but I'm gonna. You need to hear what I got to say. Because I'm your boy. Yeah. See, some of you need to get that in your crawl. Daddy, I'm your boy. I know you love me. You said that's so silly. To you it may be. I live in a different world. I live in the kingdom. I've been possessing the land of Canaan, flowing with milk and honey. I know who I am. Hey! I put my lean on. Because I know. I know my daddy. And because I know him, I go to him. And in February last year, I said, now listen, Daddy. I ain't coming to you with an attitude, but I'm coming to you as one of your boys. I ain't coming and asking for my share. I ain't asking for no money. But I am requesting something. I want to see this church be financially blessed. Because God, you've blessed me and Kelly. If it worked for me, it'd work for everybody else. I said, Lord, I want to see some things get done in the church. You know, God's got a sense of humor. You know what he told me? He says, is that all? Is that all? God didn't have a problem with that. I said, well, God, I want to see some things get straightened up around here. I said, and I can't do it. I can't do it. I ain't got what it takes. I even told God, I said, God, listen, I'm not much of a preacher. He said, you what? I said, didn't you hear me? I said, I ain't much of a preacher. I decided a long time ago when I was a pastor, I don't want to be a pastor no more. He said, do what? Say what? I can't believe I'm hearing something. This is pure garbage coming out of my son's mouth. Say it again, son. I said, well, had to wipe my mouth off. It had garbage saliva on it. He says, now say that again. I said, well, Lord, you have gifted me. I know some people think, yeah, you really did. You messed up, boy. You have lost it. Listen. When God appoints you, he anoints you. It may not be the anointing that you think that you're used to seeing. But I know when the anointing's on me. The anointing's been on me today. It ain't left me yet. And I'm going to tell you something else. When I went to him, I said, I want some things straightened out in that church. I want it beautified. And after it gets all prettied up, then I want to see you begin to put people in those seats and get them saved. He says, is that all? I said, no, on top of that, I want the church cleaned up on the outside and I want the parking lot graveled. I want it fixed. He says, is that all? I said, yeah, while I'm at it. While I'm at it, Lord, I want you to put the spirit of prosperity in everybody that comes and sits in these seats. He says, that all? I said, for right now, I'll be back. I'll be back. You know what he told me? I can't wait. You just gave me, your daddy, something to do. Now you start speaking it. You and Pastor Kelly, you start speaking it. You declare it and you believe it. And I'll bring people, even if it takes it from the outside, if some of the people on the inside won't act in obedience and bless the church that can, I'll bring them from the outside of the church and I'll bless them. Because, ladies and gentlemen, the harvest is on the outside. It's been laid up by the sinners. And he says, I'll even speak to people that are godly people and they'll bless you. And God has and is keeping his word. Because Kelly and I decreed a thing. And not only did we decree it, but we've been preaching it to you and to those on social media, that this church at Passion Church in Alexander City, Brother Phil, we are possessing the land of Canaan, flowing with milk and honey. That, ladies and gentlemen, entails everything, spiritually, physically, and financially. So I'll close. How many closings has that been, Phil? Three? I lost count. Folks, I love you so much. I love you so much. I want you to get this. Because if you get this in your heart, not just in your head, don't let it go in one ear and out the other today. Let it get in your heart. So that when you walk out of here today, you take that coat that you possess of unbelief. That coat. Maybe you're wearing a coat today that has poverty mentality. Maybe it's a coat of, well, I can't do it because you don't know my background. I pray this morning you'll take that coat off. And when you walk out of here today, you'll walk out of here with the mentality that says, and I've said it here many, many times, and I hope you don't take it wrong, but if you do, so be it. But you'll walk out of here today as saying, I am somebody. Going somewhere to make something happen for the glory of God. Phil, I ain't going back to that life no more. I've been broke, disgusted, and busted. I ain't going back to that life. Because now I got the answer. And I've chose that the world is not going to be my daddy. My God is going to be my daddy. And my God, my daddy, shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. My daddy is my shepherd. I shall not want. I quit telling him what I want. He said, I'll supply that for you. Now I'm telling him what I want. I don't tell him what I need anymore. He said, I'll supply all your needs according to my reason. Now I just tell him what I want. Phil, I walk in boldly and say, Daddy, based upon your word, when you created me and I was still in mommy's womb, you said you're going to prosper me. So I'm just going to remind you of what you told me, what your word said to me. Ron, I'll prosper you and give you a life and make it nothing but good. I remind him. I get up in the morning and say, this is the day that he has made. He made this day. Do you know that you got up today and he made this day for Ron Wisnan? For me to walk in it, be glad in it. If I want to strut, I can strut, because whom the Son has set free is free indeed. White boy can't dance. I may not be able to dance. I can strut, though. I'm free to be me, because I know who my daddy is. I'm created as an image and likeness. Do you like how God looks? How's God look? Look at your neighbor and say, you do look pretty good. You see, when you start living like this and start thinking like this, you quit looking at people as they are and you start seeing the way God made them. You are a beautiful daughter in God's sight. That's one fine-looking lady right there. You say, oh, listen at him talk. Boy, that makes his wife jealous. No, my wife knows I'm referring to how God sees her. I'll just say it to somebody. You're a fine-looking woman in God's sight. You need to start seeing yourself as God sees you. I am one good-looking hunk of a man. Phil, you are too. So you know you are. Yeah. You say, finding and realizing that I'm in the image and likeness of God, did that do that to you? Oh, yes, it did. You know what else? I got the best kids in the whole world. All my kids and my grandkids are the best. Yeah. Because God created them in His image and likeness. I got some fine young'uns. I don't have daughter-in-laws, do I? Lynn. You know, see? That's not my daughter-in-law. That's my daughter. I don't have daddy-in-laws and mother-in-laws. I have moms and dads. I have brothers and sisters. Family. I'm free. Would you stand on your feet and let me just bless you on the way home? Praise the Lord. Just let me bless you. Okay. You mean we get to act in the image of God? We get to act like Jesus did when He was on this earth? You're saying we're going to be His hands and His feet and His mouth. Well, hang around. We're going to demonstrate Jesus. Don't get shook up. Don't get scared and leave. We're imitating Daddy. That's what we're doing. Why don't we do that first, and then let me just bless him on the way out.
Okay, that's fine. Tasha and Zai and Dee and Quan. Yeah, they are all moving to Texas.
No.
So
Well, good. That's good. We're going
to
bless you there. Yes. Yeah.
So good that the Lord is going to do whatever He needs to do in their life.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. Yeah. Praise the Lord. This is a good thing.
Amen.
This is a good thing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, the world wants you to, when something like this happens, the church world says, oh, we're losing people. God never takes away that He don't. Listen, we're getting a harvest out of it. We're sowing them to Texas. And we're going to get a harvest right here. Big old crop. 1, 2, 3, 4. We're getting more than four.
Yeah, we've got the grandkids. They in the nursery.
Grandkids are in the nursery? How many in total is going?
Three.
Three? Seven? 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 What's a hundredfold on seven? 700. Oh, we're going to have to get out some more seats, Phil. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Pastor Kelly, I want to anoint him. Where's the oil at? I knew that. Ugh. Yeah. Here, you use this.
Here, let me just get a cloth.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to ask you that you would direct your hands this way. You say, why do we do that? You are sending forth. When you put your hands up, an officer says, put your hands up, you're showing a sign of surrender. Well, this way you're showing God that you're sending forth. We're sending them forth. And we're believing it. Go ahead and pray, baby. Yes. Anoint each one.
Father God, we just dedicate this family, Father, to you in the name of Jesus.
Yes,
we dedicate
we
them into the place that they are going forward, Father.
Yes.
that they will be seed sown, Father, that their purpose and the plan and the will and the way of God will be revealed to them as they go, Father, in the name of Jesus. They will be blessed coming in and blessed going out. Yes. Blessed in the city and blessed in the field, Father. We thank you, Jesus, that they are a people of God, Father.
Yes, they
are. For you, Father. And that you go with them, you go before them to prepare the way, you go behind them, you're their, even their rear guard. In the name of Jesus. And we declare that they are blessed to be a blessing. In Jesus' name. And if everyone can agree,
amen.
We say amen. Amen,
amen. Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right, let me just give you a blessing. Let me bless you on the way here today. Some people may not understand what does it mean when a pastor puts a blessing on the people. Let me explain something to you. In the Bible, the priest always would bless the people. It wasn't that the priests were any better than anybody else. It's just that there was an anointing, there was an office given them that God required them to uphold, and that part of that office was they had to bless the people. And when they would bless the people, God would honor that blessing from the priest on the people. So when I bless you, I want you to receive it. So I bless you in the name of Jesus. I bless your going out and your coming in. I bless you today that everything you put your hands to prospers. That your mind, the eyes of your understanding are enlightened. And that this word has gone forth into fertile ground and will grow. And that you are blessed. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you, cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, you are.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We hope you've enjoyed it and pray that you are blessed by God's Word. For more information about Passion Church, visit www.mypassion.church.